College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and to break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in this show, we will be joined by Louisville head coach Chris Mack. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also, send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in this podcast. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is brought to you by Geico. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. All it takes is 15 minutes to find out if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. And Geico offers coverage for more than just car insurance. Got a motorcycle? Geico's got you covered. Got an RV? Covered. Got a boat? Covered. How about homeowners or renters insurance? You bet Geico's got you covered. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save. That's geico.com. Well, we're back to school. Fall workouts are starting. Fall recruiting is going to get underway, and I think it's very exciting right now when you talk about college basketball. We're a couple of weeks from the official start of practice, but I think right now, when you look at the start of a new season, one of the things where you're always going to point your compass is what job switched. Who is a new coach in a marquee job? And at the top of that list is going to be Chris Mack at the University of Louisville, a coach who came from a school, his alma mater, Xavier, which was always a school which produced great coaches. Pete Gillen, Thad Matta, Skip Prosser, may he rest in peace, Sean Miller. And Chris Mack outdid all those coaches in terms of overall wins. He became the all-time winningest coach at Xavier. And not only that, he took Xavier to the cusp of the Final Four in 2017, and he also took Xavier to a place that it had never been before, a one seed in the NCAA tournament just last March. And my question is, with all that is surrounding Louisville, and all that has transpired within that program over the last 5 years, the stripper situation. We also know about the FBI investigation and the idea that Louisville used Adidas to pay $100,000 for Brian Bowen's commitment. And it turned out it was a player that Louisville never needed. What I want to know is, why did Chris Mack leave a program that was his alma mater, that got a one seed in the NCAA tournament, that got to the brink of the Final Four a year before, for Louisville, a program right now, and it's only going to be magnified with Rick Pitino releasing his new book this week, a program that has nothing but clouds? We'll ask Chris Mack, the head coach of Louisville, coming up on the College Hoops Today podcast. One of the major hires in this past offseason in college basketball was Chris Mack going from Xavier to Louisville. And the Cardinals head coach joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein right now. And coach, how would you describe the last 5 months getting acclimated to your current post?
It's been great, John. I appreciate you asking. The first two or three months really is a blur. And the days, doesn't seem like you have enough hours in the days to complete your task. But you know, as things have slowly progressed throughout the, you know, later part of the summer and early into, you know, the start of the school year, a little bit more routine, which has certainly helped. You know, we've, as a staff, have sort of gotten our bearings, gotten to know our players extremely well, and have sort of set the vision of how we want to play and who we want to be. And so it's been great.
You know, Chris, I know you have yet to coach a game yet at Louisville, but thus far, in terms of all the ancillary things you've had to undertake, what are the biggest differences you've noticed in being the head coach at Louisville versus being the head coach at Xavier?
Well, I mean, certainly both schools have incredibly passionate fan bases, and both programs and their fans understand the importance of basketball. But it was just a little bit bigger following, a passionate following, nevertheless. And you know, it's coaching basketball at the end of the day. And both at Xavier and here at Louisville, I've had phenomenal guys to work with and relationships that'll last a lifetime. And, you know, we're just in the very beginning stages of our time here at Louisville, but it's been an awesome transition and one that we're really excited about.
Now, Louisville is almost like an NBA job, the resources, the following, the facilities. But you had raised the bar at Xavier. You were in the Elite Eight a year ago in 2017 where you played Gonzaga. And last year, you took your alma mater to a one seed in the NCAA tournament. Why leave that, even if it is for a place like Louisville?
I had a lot of reasons. You know, I poured my heart and soul into a program that I played for, and it's an extremely tough loss at the end of the year, as you know, against Florida State. A game that I thought we were in control, and Akira gets in foul trouble, and next thing you know, we're watching it on television, and that might have been the toughest loss and the most I've ever felt for a senior group in my coaching career. And but you know, when this opportunity presented itself, John, there was an excitement that I felt for Louisville that I'd never felt for any other place that courted me or my staff. And, you know, it doesn't mean I love Xavier any less and all the great people that are there. But, you know, for me, it was time, and I've always thought about being at a program like Louisville in the ACC. To me, it represents the highest level of college basketball. And you know, it was in our breadbasket, a place that we've recruited for in the Midwest for a long, long time. And, you know, not everybody can be Mark Few. And I was just ready for the next challenge and really excited to take it on.
What can you do at Louisville that maybe you couldn't do at Xavier?
I don't know. I'm not really worried about the comparisons of what I could or couldn't do at the last place. What I am concerned about is doing the best job that I can at a place that's been so good to me. My family, my coaching staff have welcomed us with open arms. You know, it's coaching basketball and mentoring, you know, young men at the end of the day. And really, really excited about the challenge that we have in front of us. So I'm not worried about comparing, you know, what we can do at Louisville with what we couldn't do at Xavier. You know, both are great places. And I'm very fortunate to have coached at both, and now my eyes are forward on the task here at Louisville.
Louisville head coach Chris Mack joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Now, Chris, you are obviously prepared for this job. You've had great success at Xavier. You've had some great mentors in the business who have groomed you to be a coach at a program with the pedigree of Louisville. But one thing you hadn't had to do up until last spring was go before your team and tell them you were leaving to take another job. What was that like?
Well, as you can imagine, it's incredibly hard. You know, I only had about six or seven returning guys. Obviously, the incoming freshmen weren't there because it was at the end of March. Mm-hmm. The seniors were sort of doing their own thing. And so it was incredibly difficult, but knowing that, you know, Coach Steele was more than likely going to get the job. Mm. Made the transition for me a lot easier, knowing that Xavier would be in good hands with somebody who invested a whole lot in the program with me from the very beginning of our time together. The players made it a lot easier. You know, guys like Paul Scruggs, Tyree Jones, and Quentin Gooden, you know, leaders on our team, made it a lot easier than I thought it would be, but it was very difficult.
Well, and it signaled new beginnings, and you obviously became, you know, one of the elite coaches in the Atlantic 10 and the Big East as soon as you took over in those respective leagues. But, you know, you look at the ACC right now on paper in terms of the caliber of coaches, and it's a different breed of cattle. Three of the 15 active coaches are in the Hall of Fame. 10 of the 15 coaches have taken a team to the Elite Eight, yourself included, and 11 have been to a Sweet 16. What is it like now, knowing that this is obviously what you're going to be up against each and every night in conference play?
Well, it's what I expected, you know. certainly, when you think of the ACC, to me, I equate it to the best basketball in the entire country, the best league, the best players, the best coaches. So in order for us to compete at a very, very high level, we're going to have to get the job done. We're going to have to be focused on the things that we can control. But it certainly doesn't make our jobs any easier. It's going to be a challenge every single night.
Now, I mentioned there are three active Hall of Famers in the ACC right now. There was four prior to what happened about a year ago at this time at Louisville. It's always unique when you're replacing somebody who's had great success. You did it at Xavier when you followed Sean Miller. I'm curious, though, what is the Rick Pitino-Chris Mack relationship like, and has he served as somebody who's, you know, offered you guidance as you've taken over the job which he had for so long?
I've talked to Coach a few times. Certainly, you know, with all the things that, you know, the bitterness I think he feels towards our school and you know, his exit. Obviously, I'm not talking to him on a daily basis, but,
right.
You know, I did call him, you know, prior to taking the job. I've reached out a couple times since because he's a Hall of Fame coach. He built this place. On the heels of Denny Crum, and those two guys are maybe the greatest basketball minds that college basketball has ever seen. So a lot of respect for who came before us, both on the coaching tree and the players that have built this place. So I can't worry about the expectations, you know, based on, you know, guys that coached here in the past. I just have to do the best job I can with the coaching staff that I have, and hopefully that'll be good enough to get the job done.
You know, Chris, obviously Coach Pitino was removed as head coach a year ago because of Louisville's link to the FBI situation. How much did that come up in your dialogue with the school when you were thinking about taking the job in terms of the potential imposing sanctions on your program? And how has that dialogue been as you've discussed it with potential recruits for the future?
Yeah, I mean, I talked about it a lot with our athletic director, Vince Tyree. You know, it certainly was a concern of mine, and why wouldn't it be? But I think a lot of times when you read, all the stuff that's put out there about the ongoing FBI investigation, a lot of stuff becomes fiction more than fact. And so I wouldn't have felt, if it was an impossibility, I wouldn't have taken the job. But I felt comfortable enough with Vince's answers during our time, and I'm trying to, you know, when I talk to recruits, make them understand what I understood, and that this is a great place, a place with a storied tradition, and Louisville basketball is going to be just fine. And I think very, very many recruits have been receptive. We've obviously signed three graduate transfers that are going to help our program this coming year, and we're going to look to add a very, very important freshman class this coming year. So, I think a lot of times things get reported, John, are a little bit inaccurate, and we feel great about the future of Louisville basketball.
Louisville head coach Chris Mack joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Chris, what are the impressions of the roster you've inherited?
I like them. You know, I think we have some high character guys. I think we have some guys that, you know, have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder and have really put in a ton of hard work over the summer. And, it's been a learning curve, you know, how they played in years past, a little bit different than how we're going to be playing in the future. But, I do like our talent level. We're not the deepest team in the country, but, you know, there have been teams that won national championships, didn't have 13 guys on scholarship and, mass substitution. So we just have to get through the season healthy. And I think that if we practice smartly here over the next 5 months, that we'll be fine. I got high expectations for this group.
You know, Chris, you just coached one of the great shooting wings that we saw in college basketball in a long time in Trayvon Blewett. And, you know, he's not obviously the same player, but when I saw Louisville practice last year, Jordan Nwora looked to me like a guy who could be a volcano. How much could this guy be somebody who's similar to Trayvon, you featured on offense and regularly tried to get him open shots because of how effective he is at putting the ball in the basket?
Yeah, it's remarkable the similarities between, you know, Jordan Nwora and Trayvon Blewett. I mean, those guys are very, very similar. You know, it. You know, I had 4 years with Trey, and so I really got to know him as a person, as a player. You know, what made him tick, and I think a lot of times, you know, people saw the, you know, the explosive games he'd have scoring the ball, but Trayvon did the little things. You know, he blocked out. You know, he guarded mismatches on the defensive end. You know, he let the game come to him. You know, there'd be times, John, when he didn't take a shot for 4 or 5 minutes, and you know, never batted an eye in a huddle. And so he provided great leadership. And you know, I'm on the beginning stages of learning about Jordan. He's had a great summer. You know, he represented Nigeria in the African Games this past summer, and had a great international experience, leading scorer, and so he was really, really explosive. And you know, we're expecting a lot. You know, he has the ability to be an All ACC type performer. And, again, big expectations on Jordan, and not just as a scorer, but in other facets of his game.
And, you know, you look right now at the other pieces on your team, Chris, and there's some other players, especially up front, Malik Williams, Steve Enoch, who have really physically looked the part during the first couple years of their college careers, but haven't produced maybe at the level yet that they'd like. How big are those guys going to be in terms of the evolution of your team next year?
Oh, they're going to be huge. You know, and I really like our front court. You know, I think, you know, you mentioned Malik. He was a skinny freshman last year. You know, he sort of got thrown to the fire. And, you know, as skilled as he is and with his ability to, you know, space the floor from his position, he's dangerous when he's out there. But he needed to get stronger. And he sort of answered that bell this past offseason. He's still working in the preseason. We expect a lot out of him as a sophomore. And I think, you know, Stephen Enoch, you know, I sort of knew him as a transfer from UConn, but as I've gotten to know him coaching him over the last several months, it's very apparent that he's as competitive as, of a player as I've ever coached. He's big, he's agile, he's a high-level talent. He can have a remarkable year as a redshirt junior, and we're going to need those two, along with Akoya Gao, who's a fifth-year, actually a sixth-year guy, who originated his career. We need those guys to man the front court for sure.
Perimeter play is obviously the backbone of any successful team in college basketball. From Tu Holloway to Quentin Gooden to others, you always had special leadership at the lead guard position at Xavier. What are your impressions of what you've seen at that position so far at Louisville?
Well, you know, we've yet to hit any adversity. You know, guys have done a terrific job in the offseason and in the preseason thus far. You know, we have several guys in the backcourt that can slide over to the one in a pinch. Probably the true point guard that we have on our team is Christian Cunningham, a transfer from Samford, who's steady Eddie, John. He's so respected by his teammates. He's been here the entire summer that he was elected one of our co-captains along with BJ King. So, you know, he's a guy that just gets guys shot, and he understands personalities. He understands, you know, making the game easier on his teammates. And I've really enjoyed getting to know and coach Christian Cunningham. And I think he's going to have a really good year for us. But, you know, guys like Ryan Mann, who I think has been known as a shooter his whole career, but he's more than that. And then Darius Perry, who's a sophomore, who's, you know, had good times and bad like most freshmen. We just need Darius to slow down. But, you know, very, very high-level talent, tough kid, phenomenal defender. So feel really good about who mans our point guard position during the course of games.
Louisville head coach Chris Mack joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Now, you were part of a major rivalry in your previous job in the Crosstown Shootout with Xavier in Cincinnati, and that sometimes felt like Armageddon. But it even feels like now that you're stepping up a weight class joining Louisville, Kentucky. As somebody who has obviously spent all of his years in the Midwest, What is it like to now be a focal point in what, other than Duke and North Carolina, is the best rivalry we have in the sport?
Well, I'll tell you, on December 29th or maybe December 30th, the day after we play. But, you know, the game's so important to so many people. It's a nationally relevant game, a game that has a lot of history and, you know, great players and great moments. So I think that's why you play sports. I think that's why you coach sports, to be in games such as the UK-Louisville game. What a rivalry it is. And you know, we got our tails whipped a year ago, and, you know, hopefully, you know, we're better because of that. And really excited to be a part of that rivalry.
Well, that's one, Chris, of what is an absolutely loaded non-conference schedule. Michigan State at home, at Seton Hall, at Indiana. You're also in the preseason NIT, which feels more like a Sweet 16-type regional this year than it does a preseason tournament. You play Tennessee. The other side is Kansas Marquette. Have you ever had to undertake a non-conference schedule as rigorous as the one you're about to undertake this year in your first season at Louisville?
Great question. I mean, we've had some tough ones during my time at Xavier, but certainly this is probably the toughest non-conference schedule. And then you add that to the ACC, which will be, you know, in my opinion, maybe the toughest schedule in all of college basketball for the entire season. But, you know, I think you can look at it one of two ways. You know, I think it's important for us to look at it in the way that's a positive one, that will help prepare us for ACC play, will help prepare us for getting into the tournament, and playing in those type of games and those type of environments. You know, the selection committee, as you know, John, has shown over the years that they reward teams that go out and schedule aggressively and aren't afraid to play anybody. And nobody's going to be able to accuse Louisville of ducking anybody. So, you know, from that standpoint, we have to be able to keep our confidence. You know, probably not going to go undefeated. And that's all right. Still have a hell of a team. And, again, I think challenging yourself is you learn a lot about your team and about your players as you move into conference play. So I'm excited about it.
Final thing, Chris, you've obviously talked a lot about the pieces that you inherited and the pieces that you brought in. There's some stuff to work with. As you look into your first season right now, do you feel like, and you've been around a lot of teams that have achieved this level, you have an NCAA tournament team?
Oh, I absolutely do. You know, obviously you have to stay healthy, but I feel like we certainly have enough talent, and talent doesn't make your team. You know, hard work, togetherness, guys' ability to sacrifice for one another, those type of things, you know, make or break your team, especially during times of adversity. So if you ask me if we have enough talent to be in the NCAA tournament, I would be disappointed if we weren't there. But we're going to have to earn it, just like every team has to earn it once the season begins. So there's a lot of work between now and then, but I'm looking forward to it, and I think our guys are as well.
Well, Chris, we appreciate a couple of minutes. Congratulations on the job. It's one of the best in the country. Safe travels and best of luck in the fall recruiting process, and I look forward to staying in touch along the way.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, John.
We'd like to thank Louisville head coach Chris Mack for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is brought to you by Geico. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. All it takes is 15 minutes to find out if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. And Geico offers coverage for more than just car insurance. Got a motorcycle? Geico's got you covered. Got an RV? Covered. Got a boat? Covered. How about homeowners or renters insurance? You bet Geico's got you covered. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save. That's geico.com. And time now for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And our first question comes from Brent at Turbo Stretch. And it's, John, Your thoughts on a sleeper team or matchup with the biggest upset potential at the loaded Maui Invitational? Well, you look at the Maui Invitational this year, and it is absolutely loaded from top to bottom. I mean, think about some of the teams that are involved in this field. The first round goes like this. Duke against San Diego State, Auburn against Xavier, Arizona against Iowa State, and Gonzaga against Illinois. Two things I'm going to point out in these first-round matchups. I think that Iowa State has a chance to improve its win total potentially by 9 or 10 this year because of the addition of Mariel Shayok, the transfer from Virginia, and also the idea that you're going to get Lindell Wigginton back and also Nick Weiler-Babb back. I think Iowa State could be a dangerous team in the Maui Invitational, and I also think that the Duke-San Diego State game is fascinating for a number of reasons. First of all, because San Diego State and any team in the Mountain West needs to maximize non-conference opportunities to build an NCAA tournament resume. If you're San Diego State, you are a team that almost has a golden ticket right now with a first-round matchup with the Blue Devils. Now, let's look at the personnel that Duke has obviously put out there and that we've seen so far after their trip to Canada. R.J. Barrett, Cam Reddish, Zion Williamson. Mike Krzyzewski said on this very podcast in June, he is a believer with this group in interchangeable basketball. San Diego State, by tradition, has always had long, versatile defenders that could switch ball screens and be effective in that type of a situation. I am going to be glued to that game in Maui. Our next question is going to come from Terry Capper, and it's, John, what are the chances Illinois sophomore guard Trent Frazier can ascend the first team all Big Ten? I would be surprised if Trent Frazier is an all first team Big Ten player this year, but look, here's one thing we know about Brad Underwood. He is going to feature guards. He's going to play fast. He loves to score. I was at an Illinois practice last year. This is a guy that's going to look to exploit mismatches and play as fast as possible. Now, you look at what Illinois is constructed right now in terms of their roster. Andres Feliz was the best junior college point guard in the country. He is going to play alongside Frazier. They also have Ayo Dosunmu. This is going to be a tough pronunciation. Ayo Dosunmu. Dosunmu? We got to get the my guy Derek Burson of Illinois to pronounce that. It's Ayo Dosunmu. He was a freshman who was a highly touted player. And you also have Kipper Nichols, who comes back averaging double figures. Trent Frazier, 12-5 as a freshman. I think he'll be 15 or 16 as a sophomore. Now, let's get to some nuggets.
Five good nuggets.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Okay, nugget number one, be afraid, be very afraid. 20-game conference slates are already taking a toll on scheduling for future seasons. Warning, if you are not in the top seven league, the Power Five, the Big East, or the American, you are an endangered species in college basketball. I'm talking about the Mountain West, the Missouri Valley, and the Atlantic 10. Speaking of Missouri Valley, nugget number two is Valley depth. I understand the buzz regarding Loyola Chicago, and we had Porter Moser on this very podcast last week, but it's important to note that both Illinois State, Southern Illinois, return three double-figure scorers. Nugget number three, hope for the Hoyas. Now, Georgetown last year lost six Big East games by 5 points or less. They returned five of their top six scorers. They did lose Marcus Derrickson in a league as balanced as it's ever been. The Hoyas are a bit of a dark horse, also hearing great things about their two freshman guards, James Akinjo and Mack McClung. Nugget number four, the unsung presence. I watched Nevada on tape last week. I am amazed at how under the radar Jordan Caroline is nationally. One heck of a college player. This guy could easily be Mountain West Player of the Year. Does not get the same attention as the Martin twins, but a really, really good basketball player. Nugget number five, more buzz in the Bahamas. Per multiple sources, this is the field for the 2019 Battle for Atlantis. North Carolina, Gonzaga, Michigan, Oregon, Iowa State, Seton Hall, Alabama, and Southern Miss. We'd like to thank Louisville head coach Chris Mack for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. And again, it's Ayo Dosunmu from Illinois, a name to watch. We'll be back again, same bat time, same bat channel, as well as the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.